Blog Talk Radio.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transition. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
This program is brought to you by Josie's Inspiration Radio Network USA World, produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Network USA World. USA toll-free callers 1-310-742-1858. Again, that's 1-310-742-1858.
My purpose is to praise you. My longing is to worship you. My life desire to live for you. My life desires to live for you.
Beautiful morning, everyone. It is December the 2nd. This is Josie, Josie's Inspiration, A to Z Essential Oils for Cancer Care. And I am really grateful. You know, we talk about the season of Thanksgiving being a time of gratitude, but my belief in my heart always stays in a place of gratitude. Gratitude and appreciation for opportunities for my life. And today, December 2nd, I'm so excited to be kicking off this holiday season, the month of December. People are talking so much about this being the last decade, about 2020 coming. And, you know, what's most important to me is that this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And so every day is a brand new opportunity for us to praise Him, to give Him the glory for all the blessings in our lives and even the challenges that we experience, because challenges only come to make us stronger. And so today I'm extremely excited. I thought about this a couple of weeks ago and decided that for the month of December, I have two shows. And I wanted to talk about essential oils in a different way. I wanted to talk about essential oils of the Bible, the healing oils of the Bible. So often, you know, we hear people talk about, you know, the oils of the Bible and how the Magi brought oil to the Christ Jesus, to the baby, to the Christ child. They brought gold and frankincense and myrrh. And, you know, in our current vision, we think, oh, you know, they showed up with these vessels of, you know, these bottles or little vessels of gold and frankincense and myrrh. But these are most precious items during that time. And so they would not have been as readily available for them to carry around a whole lot. So the resins of gold or resins of frankincense and the resins of myrrh are what is believed to have been taken by the Magi for the Christ child. So today, I want to talk a little about my favorite topic, essential oils, but a new twist. Generally, I'm talking about essential oils for cancer care, and I always give that disclaimer that the information that I share is that for informational purposes. I'm not a doctor, so I don't seek to diagnose or treat anyone with what I share with you. But today I'm giving some reference information from a lot of different sources as I've been reading and really understanding and taking time to see where and how essential oils were referenced and how they were used during biblical times. And so the first thing that, you know, really is important is that, you know, while we know oils today and they have their place on shelves all over the place, what the blends are that we currently have, we're not going to find necessarily that beside our favorite Bible verse. But there are lots of botanicals and oils that are listed in the Bible. And so I'm going to go through some of the healing oils this morning that have been singled out as potential essential healing oils or aromatic extracts that we can still get today. And some of the names may be a little different. So, you know, as I talk about them, I'm going to give you what information that I know. So one of the first things that I found was reading about aloes. Aloes being a symbol of abundance and provision, shown in Numbers 24:6, in Psalm 45:8, and Proverbs 7:17, aloes were referred to as a perfume, and in Song of Solomon 4:14, it was used as an incense, get my tongue together here, and in John 19:39, as a burial ointment for Christ. So what are aloes? Well, they're like a cactus, and if you look in the traditional dictionary, it will say that aloe is a tropical plant with a healing gel. And we know aloe vera oils and things like that, but there's a bigger picture to what aloes really are. And the fragrant wood of an East Indian tree, the Aquilora agalocha, is an aloe that in its aromatic extract is considered to be sandalwood. sandalwood. I love sandalwood because sandalwood is really an earthy fragrance. It is an oil that I think a lot of men and a lot of women, as they smell it, they think about it in terms of its deep, rich earthiness. And so the sandalwood, I'm going to give you just a little bit more background about sandalwood. And it is a masculine oil, highly effective as an aphrodisiac oil for men. It's effective also for short-term mental stress, as well as an oil used in a lot of skincare products. It is an oil that is considered to be very grounding, and it helps hold scents together. It's anti-inflammatory. It reduces inflammation. It, as I said, can be an aphrodisiac, but it also has some other benefits, such as for the emotions. It's inspiring of beauty, courage, confidence, hopeful, and sympathetic. And it works on the key bottom body systems of the respiratory system, nervous, urinary, skin, and the circulatory system. So that sandalwood is such a powerful oil. You know, we know it as something that can be sandalwood as incense. We know that it can be something that is in cosmetics. And it has that benefit as a cardiac toner. And it has some digestive benefits as well. So when you hear about aloes in the Bible, you know, don't think about your aloe vera gel. Think about sandalwood. Think about that beautiful, rich, earthy scent that could be used for healing and especially for embalming. And that is a little bit about the sandalwood, a symbol of abundance and provision, a perfume, an incense, a burial ointment for Christ. Then the next oil I'm going to talk about is cassia. And so cassia, it kind of relates to the verb, like an herb, senna. And we sometimes think about senna as, you know, something that can be used in different ways, the senna leaf. But as we think about cassia, it most likely resembles cinnamon more than anything. And so when you think about that, you think about cinnamon in the Bible, or cassia in the Bible, as it was called. It was used in Exodus 30:24, referenced as an anointing oil. In Psalm 45:8, referenced as a perfume. And in Ezekiel 27:19, it was considered a precious commodity. And so what else do we know about cinnamon? Well, oftentimes we could think about cinnamon as a spice. You know, we might be thinking about our cinnamon pancakes. I went out yesterday and I had some cinnamon chip pancakes that were at one of my favorite restaurants, and they were pretty good. But cinnamon is one of the most universal oils because of its wide range of uses. It has benefits for the circulation and heart stimulation. It is also used to help with digestive, for issues of the flu, blood sugar issues, impotence in men, childbirth in women, and even tropical fevers and a wide range of infections. And when it's highly diluted, it has been very effective for use as an anti-parasitic oil against scabies. We know also that cinnamon has the benefit for countering poison, so it can work as an antidote. It also works as an antiseptic, fighting germs and infection. It relieves spasms as an antispasmodic. It can work as an astringent, tightening tissues and reducing oil or secretions. It also is a stimulant, increasing functional activity in the circulatory, cardio, and respiratory system. And in for a digestive, it aids or balances digestion. Key emotions for cinnamon: determined, defending, encouraging, and capability. Key body systems: the endocrine system, the digestive system, immune, and the circulatory system. And that is cassia in its current day form. We know it as cinnamon. All right, so cedar wood. I love the fragrance of cedar wood. In fact, I think I'm going to buy my cedar wood later on today and maybe diffuse it in the home. But cedar wood has been mentioned most commonly as a burned wood for ceremonial purposes. It is associated with cleansing and purification. And it was referenced in Numbers 19 as a ceremonial tool for cleansing leprosy. It was also mentioned in the same way in Leviticus 14 as a perfume in Psalm 45:8, as a symbol of abundance and provision in Numbers 24:6, Psalm 92:12, Ezekiel 31:3, and as a symbol of security and stability in Song of Solomon 1:17, 8, and 9, and in Zechariah 11:2. The choice for wood for building, trading, and currency, as referenced in 2 Samuel, 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 2 Chronicles, Ezra 3, Jeremiah 22, and Ezekiel 17. And cedarwood was also mentioned by Solomon in his Proverbs and sacred writings in 1 Kings 4:34. So there are lots of uses for cinnamon oil. It is used in the cleansing of the leper. And extracted from the cedars of Lebanon, it was used to embalm the ancient pharaohs, and modern scientists have demonstrated the antioxidant properties of cedarwood even today. So let me tell you a little bit more about cedarwood. Cedarwood oftentimes is referred to, has been referenced to a number of oils from lots of plants, and it's known to be mild, gentle, and calming to the nerves. It is an oil that is used related to the skin, including fungal infections of the scalp and hair, and is effective for a lot of testosterone hormone-related needs as well as masculine emotional challenges. It, too, is an antifungal, an astringent, a diuretic, an expectorant, a hormone balancer for the males, a sedative, a stimulant, and a toner for kidneys, spleen, pancreas, nourishing, supportive, and strengthening in those areas. And I like to use cedar wood, especially for crickets and slugs and insects, because they don't like that so much. So it has the emotional benefits for being centered, regality, endurance, commitment, and respectful. And it works in the body systems of the reproductive, respiratory, circulatory, urinary, nervous, and the skin. And that's cedar wood. So the next oil, which is one another of my favorite, I think all the oils are my favorite, but there's certain ones that I really love, cypress. Cypress, when I think of cypress, I think about circulation. I use it a lot. I make a blend called my super senior massage oil, and I put cypress in that because cypress really helps with circulation. But cypress was mostly mentioned as a companion to cedar. It is celebrated in the scriptures as a symbolic of as a symbol of strength and security. And in one of the Bible dictionary, it states that cypress was a native of the Taurus. The Hebrew word that points to a tree as a cypress tree with a hard grain, and a lot of the things that cypress really has been referenced in the Bible is for wood building, trading, and currency, as referenced in 1 Kings, 2 Chronicles, and Isaiah 41, as a fragrant hardwood and symbol of security and stability in Isaiah 44:14, a symbol of prosperity in Isaiah 60:13, Hosea 14:8, and Zechariah 11:2, and the choice wood for weaponry in Nahum 2:3. Cypress is the chosen translation, likely due to the Mediterranean cypress, an evergreen from which we derive an essential healing oil known simply as cypress oil. It is comprised largely of pinene and limonene and is an effective antibacterial essential healing oil. And so cypress I really do love. And let me tell you a little bit more about cypress. So cypress, too, is an anti-inflammatory, and you'll find that most oils have that benefit. Also antispasmodic, antiseptic, as a deodorant. In fact, I've used cypress in making some of my natural deodorants that I do. It's also a toner and a vasoconstrictor, which means it can narrow blood vessels. it has the benefit of being restorative on the emotions, workable, flexibility, easing transitions, and relaxing. And on the key body systems, the circulatory, lymphatic, respiratory, urinary, and reproductive systems. It is used in improving circulation, respiratory-related needs ranging from asthma and whooping cough to bronchitis and general congestion. And cypress oil is sometimes considered a poor man's helichrysum, which is a powerful healing oil. And when you can't get that helichrysum, cypress is the oil to get. Now, we all know frankincense. Frankincense. I consider frankincense like the father healing oil of all oils. And frankincense, we know from the Christmas story. And so in the Christmas story, we hear frankincense mentioned. It's also found in Exodus 30:34 and Revelation 18:13. And it's mentioned as part of incense for a priestly rite and as indication of wealth and prosperity in spice trade. It is also part of ceremonial offerings referenced in Leviticus 2:5, 6, and 24, Numbers 5, and 1 Chronicles 9, Nehemiah 13, as a holy ceremonial perfume in Exodus 30:34, as another perfume in Song of Solomon 3:6 and 4:6, and as a precious commodity for potential currency in Isaiah 66, Jeremiah 6:20, Revelation 18:13, and the gift of the Magi to the Christ child, Matthew 2:11. As a healing remedy, frankincense oil is not only antimicrobial, but also an immunostimulator. Could God have been protecting his priest and his son through the use of frankincense? I believe so. And so, what else can I tell you about frankincense? It has so many qualities, strengthening the respiratory system, rejuvenating the skin, and being anti-tumoral. It has the unique ability to pass through the blood-brain barrier, adding both physically and emotionally, and it is hugely beneficial for strengthening the immune system. It has the emotional benefit for healing, honoring, introspective, reflecting, and generous, and it works on the key body systems of the circulatory, immune, respiratory, nervous, and the skeletal system. So the next oil I'm going to talk about, galbanum. So galbanum, you know, we hear about it in the Bible, but, you know, today, you know, where will we find something called galbanum? I don't know, but I'll tell you what I found about galbanum. It is one of the most unfamiliar of all the oils that are referenced as healing oils in the body, but it was listed in the recipe for incense to be used in the heart of the temple. We don't know exactly what species it referred to, but we know that it was a gum. And so the Bible lists galbanum as a holy ceremonial perfume in Exodus 30:34. And it today is collected as what's called Ferula gamosa, and it is sold as galbanum, which exhibits some antimicrobial effects and potential use in oral health. I really love study of oils, and so as I'm telling you about these, I'm excited because, you know, there are several more that I'm going to go through, but I'm going to pause for a moment because there's quite a list that I have, so I'm going to just read you a few more of them. I'm not going to go into detail about all of them, and then on the third Monday when I'm back in 2 weeks, I'll be able to talk a little bit more about some more of the oils, but we also have heard about Hyssop, as a part of the ritual cleansing and ceremonial offerings. Hyssop was referenced in Exodus 12, Leviticus 14, Numbers 19, Psalm 51, and Hebrews 9. The sponge that soaked up the sour wine that was given to Jesus on the cross in John 19:29. And it was mentioned by Solomon in his Proverbs and sacred writings in 1 Kings 4:34. And I want to also just tell you a little bit that it, while there's not a hyssop that I have like in my collection of oils, it's close to what's considered thyme and marjoram, which are also very powerful oils that I have. Myrrh, frankincense, and myrrh. Well, myrrh is one of the most decorated oils in the body. It's listed as a precious commodity, potential currency, anointing oil, ointment, perfume, incense, as an edible spice, one of the gifts of the Magi to the Christ child, mixed with wine and given to Jesus at the cross in Mark 15:23, and for burial preparations for Nicodemus used in the Nicodemus used in the tomb. And it isn't a wood, but it is a resin that comes from the wood. Then there is also myrtle, which is a choice wood for burning ceremonial booths in Nehemiah 8:15 and a symbol of provision in Isaiah 41:19 and Isaiah 55:13 and a symbol of protection in Zechariah 1:8 and 10:11. And that's a low-growing plant with flowers that produce an intense, lovely aroma that's said to be the meaning of Esther's Hebrew name. And that's a powerful oral myrtle. Also, Rose of Sharon and Spikenard. But I'm going to stop there because I want you to just take in the information, the fact that as we think about Christmas and as we think about the holiday season, the oils have a special purpose, because God gifted us these natural healing powers that we don't have to go to a pharmaceutical for. We can enjoy them in our home. So have a beautiful rest of your December 2nd day, and as we get ready for the upcoming celebration of the birth of our Christ, be blessed.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Holidays, and thank you for joining me on Rev. Lydia Speaks on the Josie's Inspiration Network and the Finding My Way Network. The last time we were together, I spoke of Advent and how we have questions to pose to ourselves in order to elevate how we are processing and progressing in the area of getting our spirit ready to receive the great gift of hope and promise of the coming Christ nature. And since that time, I myself have been through more than enough of the normal spiritual attacks. But instead of staying in a place of woe, I started to think, okay, now, if you were not doing God's work, and if you didn't mean what you tell others about God, about his promises and how he makes a way out of no way, if you weren't on track in leading others to realize that this whole season was a setup for their individual success, their healing, and their anointing, you would not be locked in spiritual warfare. So by virtue of the fact that I have been under attack, must mean that I'm pretty much on track. I must be doing something right. And for that knowledge alone, I give thanks. That is why I find it so vital to stay immersed in and aware of what the meaning of this time is actually about. You know how when you're looking forward to something big to manifest in your world, now doesn't it seem like everything that can go wrong does go wrong? And that's just in the physical world. So let's take this and translate it into the spiritual things. You have just been, let's say, to an uplifting service, or you've heard some music or had a conversation with someone or even with God that made your heart sing, only to get a phone call or have something just simple go wrong a few moments later, and then that just sends you into a downward spiral, a spiral of blues and depression that has your whole being vibrating and not in a good way. The Bible tells us that we wrestle not against flesh, but against principalities. Now, here's a secret. That can only happen if you've left room for your ego mind. Now, that's an acronym for edging God out. And it only has to be a very small amount of room to cause you to question yourself. The small vibrational downward pull can cause chaos. But I found that from chaos comes order. Because once you experience what you don't like, you gladly find your way back to the calm. And God made it easy, you know, as no questions asked, just come back. I was talking to someone a while back that made the remark that Christmas is for kids, not for adults that had good sense. Well, my answer was and is, well, I guess I'm a blessed child. Let's think for a moment. Let's do the what ifs. What if Joseph didn't believe Mary and exercised his right to have her stoned for adultery? What if the Magi refused to listen to the still small voice within that told them to journey to find the Christ? Now, we're all on a journey, and some of us go the long way around, and our journeys may differ, but we all are looking for the same thing. I don't know anyone who, if you ask what their desires were for themselves, I don't know anyone that won't say peace, safety for my family, abundance of the all good. Then why don't we let our actions show that? If you want peace, be peace. If you want love, be love. You are what you believe, and your energy flows where your attention goes. I've heard it say that the holiday season seems more depressed people than any other time of year. So how do you cast off these feelings? Remember that many prophets and heroes in the Bible went through the same thing. Now, even Jesus, before he went to the cross, Jesus said, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death." And the Apostle Paul said, "We're burdened beyond measure." Now, what did they do to raise their vibrations? Jesus went to be alone in the garden to speak with his Father and surrender his will. And Paul concentrated on the fact that there was a purpose to all of his trials. And that purpose being that he was to learn to rely on God and not his own actions. When you find this state creeping up on you, how do you shake it? turn your attention to the Lord and remind yourself of your blessings and the fact that God will soon make it right. Nothing dispels the blues like hope. And remember, hope is the precursor to faith. And when you are rooted in faith, the faith that God has a plan and better is coming, depression loses its grip on your heart. Listen, Paul was in prison when he decided to focus on his blessings instead of his trials. He wrote to the church in Philippi, in Philippians 4, 8, and 9, "Brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and anything praiseworthy, meditate on these, and the God of peace will be with you." Now, we'll all face depression and circumstances that we don't like from time to time. But if Paul could write these words from prison, then regardless of what's happening in our world around us, if we just take 5 minutes to recall the blessings in our lives and focus on the God of peace, I'm convinced he'll be with us. I believe that the reason we get so down is that we put pressure on ourselves. You know, the world's views that the world puts upon us. We have to have the best. We have to have the biggest and the newest. And kids are pressing their parents for the newest gadget so they won't be laughed at in school or with their friends for being behind in the tech world. And parents are buying into that pressure just to keep peace at home. We don't place value on the things that should matter, like the time it took for someone to do something as seemingly simple as to make you a batch of Christmas cookies, and maybe even do it with a grandchild just so that grandchild could make some beautiful memories along with the hefty mess that usually occurs in the kitchen when you cook with a kid. Or what if someone knit you a hat or a scarf? Now, that not only takes time, but it takes skill. I can remember my son making me a coupon book with different chores written on these different color little pieces of construction paper. And he had even put dotted lines to make it look like perforation so that I could tear off these little coupon books and redeem them. I have to tell you, I have not enjoyed anything any more than his act of giving what a six-year-old had to give. It's kind of like the story of the drummer boy. Now, suppose Mary would have just burst his little bubble by saying, "If you don't stop banging on that thing and making all that noise before you wake up my baby, can't you give gold and frankincense and myrrh like everybody else?" I don't understand why people don't express their love from their heart. I can remember falling asleep to the smells of Christmas. But I gotta tell you, it was not until I did all of the chopping and the dicing and slicing, the kneading, the measuring and baking, did I truly realize what kind of work it took to do this, or just how much love went into doing all of this. And my mom did it every holiday and managed to even have some kind of surprise goodies that she would bake extra. And she said it was to be wrapped and put under the tree for whoever dropped by. She was always concerned about how she made a visitor feel. And she did all of this after she got home from a full-time job. And she actually looked happy while she was doing it. Now, as I grew up, I realized that the blessing for her was doing this for her own family, a family that she loved, as well as being grateful for being able to do it, for having food on the table and a family to eat it and enjoy it. Now, the eating part was my joy. We don't think twice about buying something, not even if it means we have to go into debt. But who has the time or the inclination to actually make something for someone else? And how well do you think it would be received if you gave a handmade something to someone who just wants gold and silver and shiny things, how well would that be received? Now, if you don't have memories like I have, then I invite you to borrow some of mine until you can make your own with your own family. Believe me, it's worth it. See, just like Paul says, these are the things to meditate on and remember the feeling of happiness they gave you. This will cause you to raise your mood by raising your vibrational feel. And since like vibrations attract, you'll find yourself having more to be grateful for. Giving of yourself to and for others is always a great way to remove the thoughts of sadness. Maybe there's a nursing home or a senior center or a homeless shelter where you can volunteer. I can remember going to a nursing home with this program called Adopt a Senior. It took no time at all for the seniors to be waiting by the door with big smiles, waiting for their little adoptees, because some of these people were the ones who had very few or no visits. And strange as it may seem, at this time of year, even those who did have some family may not get a visit because their families had schedules. I love talking to the little lady that I adopted, or should I say adopted me. This lady had lived such a rich life. She would tell me such wild things about her days as a dancer and would get so into it that her hands and her little body would move as much as they could. She was in a wheelchair, and I could tell that in her mind she was a 20-something again, graceful and beautiful. And I can also tell you that by the end of our visit, she was not the only one transformed. I, like Paul, can assure you it works. Because just in the time that it's taken me to tell you the things about my childhood and my mother cooking and the visiting of the lady, these things, I revisited the feeling, and I am feeling so blessed at having so many opportunities to grow, to watch, to learn, and to pass all of that on to my children and watch them pass it on to their children. Something as simple as reading a storybook, but doing the voices of each character. Just start some kind of family ritual that everyone looks forward to. But whatever you do, just remember that it all begins and ends with the Christmas, the Christ nature being birthed anew within the consciousness of each individual. And Christ meets you where you are, and he guides you ever so gently into communion with his divine presence. And when we begin to manifest this state of being, whenever, wherever, the peace will always be there. And for my brothers and sisters whose sadness knows no bounds at this time of year because they may be entering into this season without someone they love, try, as hard as I know it may be, to remember what joy you shared with your loved one. I know how hard this is. My mother transitioned on a Thanksgiving morning, and every major holiday since, I find myself remembering something she did or something she said in an effort to bring joy to others. And Christmas was her most favorite season. So now I have a choice. I could have become like my friend who says Christmas is over-commercialized and dismiss it as being just for children. Or I can remember that it was a child that was sent to show us just how much joy living a life centered in the glory of God's love can be, and how the childlike gleam in the eyes of someone who has this knowledge can make you feel and try to replicate that. To honor my mother's memory and to spread joy to others in my own way. So the next time someone says to you how the holidays are not the same now that you're grown, remind them that it's only true because we've let burdens of adulthood weigh us down. And we did that by trying to push to do all the things that we need to do by ourselves, setting deadlines that can never be met and goals that can never be reached without the help of the one who desires for you to allow him to free reign over all of your circumstances. I know without a doubt that there have been times in my life that if not for the grace of God and the faith I have in him placing me in positions for my highest and best, even if he had to allow me some temporary discomfort to do it, I wouldn't have the joy that I'm experiencing now. Even though the spiritual attacks that I've been going through, I know the promise that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. And I take refuge in these joy-restoring techniques that I've told you about. You see, joy is the happiness of God made manifest and expresses through his perfect idea, man. Joy and gladness are strength-giving, especially when the mind is fixed on the things of God. Just affirm, the joy of the Lord is my strength. And watch what happens. Not only to you, but to all those who come into your path. The glow of the love of spirit is contagious, and blessed is the soul who catches it. I always tell you to relax, release, and relate. But along with that, I'm going to add rejuvenate. Because during this season of hustle and bustle, we need to understand relaxing into the true nature of Christ and releasing our everyday cares and stress is a way to rejuvenate the mind, body, and most of all, your spirit. We need to do this. In order to enter into this new season of 2020, leaving all of the old stagnant thinking in the last decade and enter into a new time of promise, let's make these last days of this old year full of your brand new thoughts. Thoughts ready to get infused with the birth of new joy and hold on to that. Understand that the new energy coming is powerful and you are a part of it all. You've been chosen to receive fully and freely. So fully and freely accept and fully and freely share this beautiful, vibrant energy so that together we can raise the vibration of the world around us. And my prayer for you is that you walk into this glorious time free of doubt and sadness, having replaced it with the joy and gladness of God. The all good of God is about to accumulate in the birth of Christ. Yes, signified as a little baby. Newness. Children to me mean that God has not given up on the world. Something new and beautiful. Each generation is smarter than the last. This is what I wish for all of you. The happiness and joy that the season brings as long as you stay connected and realize the work that we need to do to make sure that we are ready. Prepare ye the way and prepare through yourself. This is Reverend Lydia saying relax, release, relate, rejuvenate, and have a very blessed holiday season.
Believe it, but it ain't easy. 'Cause that world I painted, well,
produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.